You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, April 6, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Oh, my. Hope you had a great Easter weekend. We were supposed to have lousy weather here in Portland, and it turned out to be gorgeous most Saturday and Sunday. Took advantage of that. Took Roscoe, the official dog of 420 Radio, down to the dog park. Had a good old time. Had a nice Easter breakfast. I hope you had a good weekend as well. Boy, this week, though, we are getting ready for the High Times Cannabis Cup. Oh my God, it's coming up. I can't believe it's already April. As you know, the Cannabis Cup takes place April 18th, 19th, and 20th, 3 days long in Denver at the Denver Mart. It will be huge. It will be epic, and we will be there. We're going to film all sorts of video from the event, and we'll put that on the Radical Russ YouTube channel. It is back. It is redesigned for all you video junkies out there. Here's the deal. Here's the compromise. I will bring you video from these events. I'll bring you video of these interviews that I do, but the show is going to remain a podcast. So there's our compromise. Check out youtube.com/radicalruss and you can learn more about our YouTube channel and all the stuff that's going on there. Got a new trailer that I recorded for it as well. Nice little highlights kind of thing. If you want to share that amongst your friends, your social networks, your Facebook page, all that kind of stuff, I'd really appreciate that. Help get the word out for 420 Radio. Also want to talk about some branding going on here at 420 Radio. We've got a new app that's coming out over the 420 weekend, and we're going to have a new landing page for it that will be found at 420radio.buzz. That's right, 420radio.buzz, B-U-Z-Z. You can pass that address on to your friends, and once the app is launched, that will take you straight to the app download page. Right now, it's just a redirect to 420radio.org. We've also got some new flyers coming out. I've got some new posters. I've got the Re-Legalize Marijuana in the United States poster, the Marijuana Consumers Bill of Rights poster, and the updated Marijuana States of America poster, accurate as of April 1st, 2015. All three, I'll have them for sale. They're 13 by 19 glossy prints. We'll have those for sale at the Cannabis Cup. You can get them $5 a piece or all three for 12 bucks. So take advantage of that while you're there at the Cannabis Cup. We'll be recording there at the Cup, getting some great interviews, both video and audio, and we'll bring that to you during our road trip. Now, that is the thing I got to let you know about. We won't have a live show this Thursday or Friday because I'll be road tripping to Denver. And don't worry, we're going to travel much more sensibly this time. We'll make it to Denver without incident, I assure you. But we'll bring you all of the updates on Thursday and Friday through our uploads channel. That'll just come on its own, kind of whatever we've got recorded, you'll hear it Thursday and Friday rather than our regular live show. So we'll have updates from the road and interviews and other things that we bring to you while we're out. Should be myself and Wiz Calico joining me. All right, stay tuned, folks. We got lots of show coming up. Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us at half past for our cannabis Q&A. Lots of questions to ask him. Get yours ready in our chat room. We've also got some drug war data mining, some polls out that show that in the swing states, marijuana is doing better than the potential presidential candidates. I got a radical rant at the end of the show. Legalizing marijuana recreationally will affect medical marijuana no matter what. We've got a stupid prohibition story right after the 420 Radio news, and that's next, right after these messages.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
Hey, this is Big Daddy. I want you cats to join me at the Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio. It's like the groove in Soul Town, smashed together with a greasy pork sandwich on the side, baby.
Two hot dogs and a strawberry soda.
Funky Roller Ring.
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, April 6, 2015. A slight majority of Ohio voters support legalizing marijuana for recreational use, but a pollster from Quinnipiac University cautioned against assuming a pot-related measure could pass on an actual ballot. In the latest poll from Quinnipiac, Ohioans supported allowing adults to possess and use marijuana 52% to 44%, with 4% undecided. That's essentially even with the 51 to 44 result the poll measured a year ago. Despite support in Ohio for medical marijuana, activists have struggled to put a legalization measure on the ballot, in part due to poor organization and a dearth of financing. This winter, a group of investors called Responsible Ohio came forward, promising to invest $20 million into legalizing recreational marijuana this November via a ballot measure. But the proposed constitutional amendment would limit the commercial growing of marijuana to the investors who are backing the measure. They've invested another $20 million into developing 10 marijuana farms, including 3 in Greater Cincinnati. A second effort to legalize personal use of marijuana in Ohio has begun initial signature gathering that could ultimately lead to a constitutional amendment appearing before voters in 2016. Volunteers for Ohioans to End Prohibition plan to begin collecting signatures Monday at the downtown festivities in Cincinnati, marking the opening of Major League Baseball. If the group can collect 1,000 signatures of registered voters, it can submit its issue to the Ohio Attorney General for review. Jacob Wagner, OTEP's vice president and the author of the constitutional amendment language, said the hope is to have enough signatures gathered by next week. OTEP's proposal differs from the one Responsible Ohio is hoping to get placed on the November ballot this year. While both would open the door for personal use, OTEP's would allow for more widespread growing of marijuana than Responsible Ohio's plan. Dozens of activists, including comedian Tommy Chong, Lansing Mayor Virg Bernero, and State Representative Jeff Irwin, a Democrat of Ann Arbor, spoke out about the various merits of marijuana at the 44th annual Hash Bash in Ann Arbor Saturday. In addition to the personal stories of people helped by pot, politicians and members of various pro-marijuana organizations addressed the crowd. Representative Irwin said he is drafting a bill to introduce into the state legislature that would legalize marijuana in Michigan. Mayor Bernero said he is in favor of seeing the laws change, saying, quote, "It's a shame that in the year 2015, pot is still politically polarizing. A lot of people are still afraid to embrace legalization. I'm proud to say my thinking has evolved," end quote. Chong was clearly the crowd favorite. He joked he's been to hash bashes throughout the years all over the country, even if he doesn't remember being at some of them. Illinois residents have petitioned the state to add more than 20 medical conditions to the medical marijuana program, including anxiety, migraines, insomnia, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Petitioners identifying themselves as veterans of Vietnam and Iraq asked that PTSD be included, making emotional pleas for help, according to 269 pages of petitions obtained by the Associated Press through the state's Freedom of Information Act. Illinois law lists dozens of diseases, including cancer, multiple sclerosis, and AIDS, that can qualify a patient for use with a doctor's recommendation and a state ID card, but it is more restrictive than in other states. The Illinois Department of Public Health must approve any conditions added to the list. An advisory board made up of patients, nurses, doctors, and a pharmacist is reviewing the petitions and will make a recommendation after holding a public hearing May 4th. In an updated policy statement and technical report, Adolescent Drug Testing Policies in Schools, in the April 2015 journal Pediatrics, the American Academy of Pediatrics encourages and supports the efforts of schools to identify and address student substance abuse, but recommends against the use of school-based drug testing programs, often called suspicionless or random drug testing. Proponents of random drug testing refer to potential advantages, such as students avoiding drug use because of the negative consequences associated with having a positive drug test result, while opponents of random drug testing agree that the disadvantages are much greater and can include deterioration in the student-school relationship, confidentiality of student medical records, and mistakes in interpreting drug tests that can result in false positive results. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, April 6, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Stupid Prohibition Stories.
As a public service, the Russ Belville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's Stupid Prohibition Stories.
With your Stupid Prohibition Stories, I'm old-timey 1920s radio reporter Freddie Farrakh. This just in from Florida. A man who was arrested on charges of shining a laser light into the eyes of drivers Sunday night was also found to be hiding marijuana in his rectum, according to Ormond Beach Police. Police say Jesse Rupke, age 27, of Summerfield, was arrested after a driver complained that someone had shined a laser light at her car windshield, making it difficult for her to see. According to the police incident report, the woman said that she saw the man shine the light into multiple cars and on buildings while traveling on South Atlantic Avenue, as well as Granada Boulevard. The report said the woman called 911 because she was afraid the laser light was going to cause someone to have an accident. Police stopped a car driven by Brandy Tate, age 28, of Summerfield. Ropekey was a passenger in the car. According to the report, when police asked Tate if she knew why they stopped her, she responded, quote, because Jesse was shining the laser light at people and I told him not to. End quote. Police said Ropke said he did not know it was illegal to shine the light at people and that he was, quote, just having fun. End quote. According to the police, officers found a device for smoking marijuana on Ropke and that it tested positive for cannabis. Ropke was arrested and taken to the Volusia County Jail. Jail records show that Ropke was charged with pointing a laser light at a driver, possession of paraphernalia, and other related drug charges. I'm Freddy Farrakh with your stupid prohibition story.
Okay. Thanks, Freddy. Okay, so let me get this straight. You're driving down the car, in the car, you're riding in the car with your girlfriend, and you got weed on you and a pipe or two or three, who knows? And then you figure, you know what'd be fun is if I shined a laser at other drivers. At night. That'd be fun. Okay, so there's your first level. This is what I love about this story. This story has a multiple level of stupid in it. Multi-layered stupid. That's your first layer, is that you didn't obey Steinborn's law. Steinborn's law is the rule that says only break one law at a time. We've said this many times, you know, if people would obey Steinborn's law, we wouldn't have this segment. If you got weed on you, you got to obey the rest of the laws, especially in Florida. You got to make sure that your license plate tags are up to date and your blinkers work. And I mean, you got to make sure that you're clean in that respect. So that's your first level of stupid, but your second level of stupid is the girlfriend. Unless, of course, she was doing this on purpose because she doesn't like the guy and wants to get rid of him. But when the cops ask you why they stopped you, you ask, I don't know, why did you stop me? You don't tell them why they stopped you. Don't admit to crimes to police officers. What is wrong with you people? Excuse me, ma'am. You know why we pulled you over? Yeah, because my boyfriend's an asshole. I don't know. I guess that's the reasoning. You don't have to answer police questions that way. Let's make this a teachable moment. Suppose you are in a car with someone who's doing something stupid. And that someone stupid gets you pulled over. What you don't do is then admit to crimes. Don't do that. Now, if the cops got enough to bust y'all, you're going to get busted anyway. So there's no point in helping them. It doesn't make things go easier. They don't think, oh gosh, this person was so cooperative. Let's just throw away all this weed. They're so nice. Let's throw away the weed. Well, I guess this weed you'd want to throw away, wouldn't you? But you get my point. It's not going to help you any to help the cops any. If they got enough to bust you, they will. If they don't got enough to bust you, they won't. Or they'll fake it and they'll bust you anyway, and then you'll get that thrown out later. But you can't get it thrown out later if you give it up. You gotta think further ahead than just the police stop you're a part of. You gotta think forward to what happens when it goes to court. Because cops can lie. Cops can plant evidence. There's all sorts of nasty stuff cops can do. But none of that gets fixed by your lawyer if you give up your constitutional rights, like telling the cop that your boyfriend in the car was shining laser lights at the people. Oh my goodness. Learn about this stuff online. You can find a great website. It's called flexyourrights.org. Check that out, flexyourrights.org. They've got some great instructional videos and some website information on how to assert your constitutional rights, because you got to use them or you're going to lose them. And the cop's job is not to tell you that they exist. Absolutely right, especially in Florida. Got to be careful, people. I had to learn that lesson the hard way. I'm one of the best trained guys in the world when it comes to this kind of stuff, and I got busted last year, right around this time. So be careful out there, folks. Learn your rights and make sure you assert them. We're back with some drug war data mining. Swing state voters like weed. Well, who doesn't?
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Funky Roller Room.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy, and I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Ring. Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Ring.
Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420RADIO to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby!
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. Taking a look at a great column written today by Christopher Ingraham, who has been doing a stellar job for the past year or so writing for the Washington Post in a blog they call Wonk Blog. And it's really nice to see such positive marijuana coverage in a staid mainstream publication like the Washington Post. It really kind of shows you how far we've come as the marijuana community. Check him out, Wonk Blog on Washington Post. And this latest blog is, in key swing states, weed is polling better than all potential 2016 presidential candidates. And this is very telling, if you ask me, about the state of politics these days. The three key swing states we're talking about here would be Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida. And they asked two questions. They asked about medical marijuana, and they asked about recreational marijuana. And medical is off the charts. I mean, this is settled, folks. They're getting, 82-83% here for medical in Ohio. What was this? More than 80%. In all three states. I don't know how, it's not a very good graph as far as what the actual numbers are. Let's see if I can get the Quinnipiac numbers directly. But it's over 80% in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, and in Florida. Let's see here. Ohio Senate, Ohio poor job approval, medical, where's the medical? Doggone it. Should have got this part pulled up a little quicker for us. But here we go. Let's see if we can find the marijuana numbers. Real quick. Oh, they're all the way at the bottom. That's why. All right. So Florida here. Do you support adults using marijuana for medical purposes if their doctor prescribes it? Florida comes in at 84%. Ohio comes in at 84%. And Pennsylvania comes in at 88%. Just remarkable here. So I don't even know how there's even an argument about medical use of marijuana anymore. This seems to me an issue that, you know, it's going to be, medical's going to be the civil unions, if you will, of marijuana evolution for these politicians, right? When the whole gay marriage issue was taking off so rapidly among the public and how the politicians kind of had to scramble, oh, make sure that their views had evolved, right? You know, looking at you, President Obama. A lot of them took the kind of middle ground where they said, well, I'd support civil unions. And I'd support separate but equal marriage for gay people, right? And that's kind of what medical marijuana is, in a sense. It's a little separate but equal. It's a little discriminatory toward us that don't have a qualifying condition. It says that if you're healthy enough, we can throw you in a cage for weed. But it's a safe middle ground, at least. It's a safe place for some of these politicians to come down on. Unfortunately, since 2014, that safe middle ground also includes a place called CBD only, where they can come down in favor of medical marijuana that doesn't have THC in it, and they can still demonize the high. But medical marijuana, generally speaking, I think is a settled issue in the United States. Now, the other issue that's not settled here is support to legally possess small amounts of marijuana for personal use. Now, this is a weird phrasing of this question, because supporting legal possession of small amounts of marijuana for personal use does not include supporting economics of marijuana, the marijuana markets being legalized, right? Possession is just, to some people, would call that decrim, right? You know, ultimate decrim, no fines, no penalties, no arrest, no nothing. So maybe the support for legalization isn't as great if you ask the question, do you support or support allowing adults, or do you support marijuana being taxed and regulated for adults like it is in Colorado and Washington and Oregon and Alaska? Ask that question, we might have a better gauge on how those Ohio initiatives could possibly do in an election. This question seems to me, I would guess it would give us a higher result than what you'd get from a tax and regulate, but I don't know for sure. Anyway, the numbers coming in for support legally possessing small amounts of marijuana for personal use, Florida, 55%. And folks, that's pretty good. I'm pretty shocked that Florida's coming in at 55% for legalization. 52% for Ohio and 51% for Pennsylvania. And where this is such the big shocker is that marijuana, even just for legalization, is doing better than any of the other candidates. The only candidate who gets above 50% in any of the swing states is Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's favorability rating is just a hair over 50% in Ohio. And it's closing in on 50% in Florida and a little less so in Pennsylvania. And as far as the rest of the candidates go, the Republican clown car that's coming out here, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, all of them are below 40% in the three key swing states, except Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio do above 40 in Florida. Jeb Bush, of course, was a governor of Florida. Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, kind of makes sense.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. We got Dr. Mitch on the line. How you doing, Doc?
Having a great day, Russ.
Oh, glad to hear it. And just got the newest issue of High Times magazine in my hands. And I real quick wanted to ask you a question about writing that column. How do you get your answers so short?
It's funny because it actually takes longer to make them short than to write them long. So I write the right answer, and then I go back and really tighten up each sentence. It's been a struggle, but I think it's a challenge that's helped my other writing, to tell the truth.
Yeah, you know, as a professional writer, I concur. I can write a 1,200-word article any day. A 400-word, that's tough.
I got an email from somebody who actually apologized and said, sorry, this email was so long, but I didn't have time to make it shorter.
Well put. All right, folks, we got your questions coming in our chat room at 420radio.org. Just click the live chat button, or you can call us toll free at 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. We start things off by asking Dr. Mitch, what's the latest in cannabis science?
We've got another coverage of cannabis being kosher for Passover, some more stuff on PTSD and the progress for that veteran study, and some wild stuff on tumors, as well as, you know, a few other details. Anything you'd like to start with, I'd be happy to comment on.
Yeah, the tumor information, this is was just breaking today, and I had some people in the chat room asking about this. I didn't cover it in the news because I wanted to save it for talking to you, and that is word that the federal government is admitting that THC, marijuana, cannabinoids can kill tumors. What can you tell us about this?
I really want to emphasize that at least these data combine cannabinoids with radiation treatment, and so I want to, you know, say that that's probably how the government is feeling like this is the way they can get their toe in the water. They're not actually coming right out and saying THC or cannabidiol shrinks tumors so much as, well, it might help radiation work, but I really do feel like this is some real progress. Obviously, it's a rodent study, but I'm eager to hear if anybody starts a grant to examine this here in the States with humans.
Yeah, would love to know more about this. Now, don't we have research showing, you know, THC affecting gliomas and other sorts of tumors dating back to the 70s?
In fact, at least to the 90s, and the glioma stuff is super aggressive and can be really, really critical, and it almost always attacks brain cells, and so this is a really important sense for progress here. I sure hope we can lay the old prohibitionistic ideas aside and jump right on this to help all those people who could use it.
Yeah, especially knowing how non-toxic marijuana is and how well it gets through the blood-brain barrier. It seems like the ideal medication.
Oh, and compared to chemotherapy, you can't imagine something more toxic. So there we go.
No kidding. It's the anti-chemo. All right. Speaking of this federal research, there's a story on Huffington Post about the feds earmarking almost $70 million for Dr. El Soli's lab. Some people don't even know that we have a lab. Can you tell us about that?
It's interesting because Dr. El Soli's been, for a couple of decades now, in charge of growing the medical cannabis available for any NIDA trials, as well as gathering data based on police evidence. So anytime somebody's pot gets its way into a police locker, it will often end up down in his lab and tested for THC content. So he's been the one who's documented some of those comparisons between THC from the 70s to THC levels now.
Hmm. All right. And is this a significant funding increase? Are they going to change what sort of pot they grow or anything like that?
I mean, the recommendation has been to add more strains, certainly higher THC strains. Right now, the best they have is 8%, which, you know, anybody in Colorado or Washington would find that a really light THC level. And I'm hoping that this doesn't all get funneled into just more examination of cannabis that's been essentially taken by police. I really want to make sure that this turns into cannabis administration studies. But we know NIDA has been really focused on, oh, cannabis is evil, and let's gather data on how it harms people. And there's a big opportunity here to turn that around. I sure hope the next administration can jump right on that.
One of the talking points we're hearing lately from the anti-cannabis crowd is, yeah, we have these studies, we have this info, but that's all on this weak pot, all this Woodstock weed. And, you know, the El Soli pot has always been fairly weak weed as well. Is there any fear that the use of more concentrated marijuana, that is the flowers now that are approaching 20, 25, 30% THC, or the concentrates that are up in the 60 to 80 range, that there could be any difference in how that might affect people? Or do we know how this will affect people?
Pharmacologically, it would make sense that folks would develop tolerance more rapidly if they're getting a higher dose. But what we've actually found is, if you ask people how high did you get, you know, just kind of a 0 to 6, it tends to stay the same over the last few decades. So it's pretty obvious that people are just smoking a lot less. Those old days of the 70s of sitting down with your buddies and smoking two joints before you smoke two joints are probably gone. And in fact, people are doing 1 and 2 and 3 hits at most sometimes. And I think that that's also good pulmonary harm reduction. So your chances of exposure to any odd lung irritants definitely decreases as you're smoking less.
Another scare talking point that we hear these days is that today's marijuana is GMO marijuana. It's genetically modified organisms. And I had a debate about this on Twitter with someone who, you know, we pointed out that what we're really talking about here is selective breeding. We're not gene splicing in from one species to another, what most people think a GMO is. But according to some definition, I forget if this was the federal def or Department of Agriculture, or some definition said that, no, even selective breeding is a genetically modified organism. What do you think about this scare, and what really should we be using as the terminology here?
I hate to say it, but this is the ultimate Orwellian propaganda to call this GMO. I'm sure somebody somewhere is probably sitting down at the gene splicer trying to devise the pot that could take over the world or something. But it's really unfair to call selective breeding GMO. We've been doing that since the 1700s, before Darwin even had thrown out the theory of evolution. So I think it's just not a good term to use as far as cannabis is concerned, and it's much more fair to say, hey, this pot was specially bred.
We were speaking of concentrates earlier. We got a question in from our chat room. Canna Justice wants to know, is PHO cleaner than BHO? And for those who don't know, that's hash oil extracted through the use of propane versus hash oil used through butane. You know, P for propane, B for butane. What do we know about that?
There aren't any published studies, but when you think about the process that's designed for getting the solvent essentially out of the extract, if it's done correctly, either one should be absolutely fine. If it's not done correctly, either one could completely go awry. And this, of course, is why we'd love to see, you know, essentially better training and more above board regulation as far as regular visits to these labs, so the folks who are making these can ensure that they're doing them the way they ought to be done, and keeping, you know, their own safety in mind and the safety of the consumers.
I'm wondering if there's any advantage of using one process over the other, if it's easier to clean or purge or anything like that. Maybe that's more a Danny Danko question.
I was going to say Kyle Cushman would be the ultimate man on that. And I think in all honesty, partly propane's availability in those giant tanks just for our barbecues seems to be one of the big advantages as far as that's concerned.
That would make sense. Okay, let's get to this story on, you know, we've been covering this. Maybe this is a new update. Looks like it came across last Friday about the medical marijuana study for veterans who have PTSD, and it's a groundbreaking study because the first one that's going to use whole plant medical marijuana. What's the latest?
It's intriguing because essentially, you know, Rick Doblin and the folks at MAPS have really worked hard to, first off, get some money for this. Then they had clearance at Arizona to do it. Suddenly, Dr. Sue Sisley was didn't have her contract renewed at Arizona under some circumstances that I found really upsetting. Now some new investigators have stepped up. Dr. Sisley's had an opportunity to try to do this on another campus, and I really feel like these data are important. Jamie Bowles, my grad student, and I published a paper earlier saying, particularly for some subsets of the symptoms, some of the more alarming ones, veterans are already reporting that this can be supremely helpful. We need the randomized clinical trial to show that it's not just an expectancy and it's not just in their heads, so to speak. But I really feel like this is exactly the kind of thing we need in order to help folks. As this article mentions, we've got, you know, basically up to 20% of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans coming back with PTSD symptoms, and that's just not right.
Mm. Now, another story I saw this last week that had me scratching my head was this drug that could top medical marijuana. This, was it Tricor, was it called? Phenofibrate? Mm-hmm. What is this drug, and how does it top medical marijuana?
So I'm afraid this headline is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah?
So Tricor was basically one of the statin-type drugs that you took when your cholesterol got too high if you weren't interested in becoming a vegetarian and you thought maybe there's a way to, you know, get my cholesterol down another way, this would work. As it turns out, it does have an impact on that CB1 receptor, and then they're drawing these parallels with marijuana that I think are really jumping the gun here. We do have some CB1 activity, but as we've talked about time and again, THC is a CB1 partial agonist. It gets it to fire, but not in the way that a full-blown agonist does. I can't tell from this article, and I can't get the actual journal article yet, if Tricor is really working that way. Even if it is, I find it really unlikely that this is going to have all the impact that a combination of cannabinoids could have if it's a single site at a single drug.
Hmm. All right. Just a more hype here. People that just can't embrace the fact that the cannabis itself is just fine.
Well, it reminds me of those old broccoli days where we discover broccoli is good for you, and they say, well, what's the one chemical in broccoli that really helps? And, of course, there isn't one chemical in broccoli. Mm. All the cruciferous vegetables help. You know, it's just nuts.
Yeah, and this one of the points it makes in this article is, well, medical cannabis comes with these unwanted side effects, and I don't know how unwanted the side effects necessarily are.
Well, and in truth, that's usually a question of dosage, not a new kind of drug being required.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch joins us every Monday on our Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A. You can get your questions answered privately, however, if you're a little shy, send them by email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And 420 is coming up in a couple of weeks. Any plans, Dr. Mitch?
I'm actually going to be giving a big talk that night, I think, so it should be a fun one.
All right. Well, keep us posted. We'll get the word out if you need some help with the audience or anything like that. I'll be in Denver for the Cannabis Cup trying to stay safe out there. So thanks, Dr. Mitch. We'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We'll have time for a radical rant coming up next. Legalization will always affect medical marijuana. It's unavoidable. Learn why right after this break.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. And today I want to talk about recreational marijuana legalization and how it will affect existing medical marijuana. It was something that was a big controversy in 2012 in Washington state. It's something that's playing out right now in 2014 here in Oregon. And it is something that will definitely weigh heavily on the 2016 push to legalize marijuana in California. And I just want to say that you can say that this recreational legalization won't affect medical all you like. But in any state that has medical marijuana, it will be affected by passing marijuana legalization. It can't not be affected because there is no such thing as medical marijuana. There is such a thing as people who use marijuana to treat severe medical conditions, and there is such a thing as people who use marijuana for personal pleasure. But marijuana is marijuana is marijuana. Now, in maintaining this fiction that there is medical marijuana and recreational marijuana, we blissfully ignore the fact that if I walked you out to a pot plant or to a pile of buds and pointed at it, absent any paperwork or explanation, you could not look at it and tell me if it is medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. And neither could a cop or a regulator. And no government is going to endorse parallel systems for the same product that only invites the defrauding of the less regulated system. Other than, now, Colorado, I understand, but if you're willing to accept 3 plants and 1 ounce for recreational versus 3 plants and 2 ounces for medical and a 30% effective taxation and buildings with separate pot sales and separate entrances and all of that, well, then you've got a medical and recreational system in Colorado that are very alike to each other. They're much closer to each other's limits than what you'd find in a Colorado, in a California, Oregon, or Washington. And those disparities are what cause this reconciliation situation. Now, what we did is we instituted a system where we pretended that marijuana was okay for adults, but only if they're really sick. And we pretended that this was a wholly altruistic endeavor, and we produced close to no oversight, tracking, or regulation on the marijuana production and distribution system. And then, here in Oregon, we later complained that patients weren't getting medicine, because, surprise, lots of the healthy users were paying for it. And so we managed to finagle getting 1.5 pounds and 2 dozen plants per patient in Oregon, and growers who can serve 4 patients producing up to 8 dozen plants. And we're shocked, I tell you, to hear that dozens of pounds of that ends up in the trunks of cars that are popped in the Midwest. And then, even after we quadrupled the production of this mythically medical marijuana, we were still able to play the patient sob stories because, surprise, many of those growers weren't so altruistic after all, and instead made deals to harvest patient cards in exchange for giving the patient a free ounce of month of medicine that is already owned by the patient. So the legislature goes ahead and gives us dispensaries that were about as strictly regulated as the program that birthed them. So now, we have 71,000 patients being served by 45,000 growers who can produce 180,000 mature plants that might produce on average 8 ounces apiece, or about 45 tons per harvest. And those 71,000 patients supposedly own all that medicine being produced. All 45 tons of it is owned by the patients. And yet, they're having to rebuy what they already own at the 226 approved dispensaries. And we still try to play the card that the sickest patients don't have any access. Meanwhile, most of those 90% of marijuana consumers who are too healthy to avoid prison found ways to use the loosely regulated medical marijuana program to avoid arrest. And don't even play the fraud is rare card with me. Why, my wife and my brother both worked at OMMP clinics where fraud was rampant. If you've got pain listed in your medical records, whether it still exists or not, you can get an OMMP card. I personally know a very healthy fellow who shops in OMMP dispensaries once or twice a week using a caregiver card gifted to him by a patient who lives in Washington State that he does not care for and rarely visits. And in the heyday of Oregon Normal, I was taught to counsel people seeking a patient card not to forego naming a caregiver and a grower, even if they had no use for either, just so they would spread the umbrella of protection. And I know plenty of social groups in which one is a patient and everyone else chips in for that patient's run to the dispensary to buy everyone weed. So stop pretending this isn't true. Now, marijuana being what it is and 90% of its consumers being far too healthy to avoid imprisonment, that laissez-faire marijuana distribution got folded, spindled, mutilated, and stretched to the point where state senators feel no embarrassment mentioning that 75% of black market marijuana in Oregon comes from medical grows. Now, I don't know where Senator Farioli got his data to back that up, but even if we did study it, we'd just be arguing about what percentage the majority actually is. So then, in the context of all that, we voted on a mythically separate system of marijuana production and distribution for healthy people. But this time, it would have severe seed-to-sale tracking and inspections, regulations and taxation, testing and quality control. Now, whether or not our Measure 91 passed, you can damn well bet there was going to be a legislative assault on this wide-open medical marijuana system. When your state's largest mythically medical grow site is producing 624 marijuana plants for 104 people who don't even live here, the emperor has been recognized as naked. But in stark relief to the laissez-faire marijuana system in place, the comparison between medical and the tightly regulated recreational program is unavoidable. Now, this presents a dilemma to the people who are crafting legalization plans. Anyone with foresight or recognition of what's happening with medical and recreational north of us in Washington could tell you that legalizing recreational marijuana, no matter how you do it, is going to affect medical. If you don't pass legalization, the people that hate medical get wind at their backs to be able to attack it. If you do pass legalization, those people get a system to compare it to that is inevitably more structured and regulated and strict than the existing medical system. So it can't not affect it. But politically speaking, you have to understand your base. And you have to understand that I gots mine is a very powerful political motivator. So there's two ways you could go about it if you're writing a legalization plan. One way would be to promise that your legalization plan will not affect medical in any way whatsoever. And technically, that promise has been kept. Technically speaking, there's nothing in Measure 91 or the implementation of Measure 91 that affects medical marijuana. what affects medical marijuana is legislators trying to affect medical marijuana because they are comparing it to the regulated system in Measure 91. So it's not Measure 91's fault that it shows up and it presents a regulated system, and then in comparison, the unregulated medical system gets some attention. But the only other alternative would be to have shot down Measure 91, and then you've got those Oregon legislators who wanted to attack medical marijuana going with the momentum of two losses in a row for legalization. So, no matter what, there's going to be an eventual merging of medical and recreational. Because like it or not, the only thing that makes marijuana medical is the consumer, not the producer. When it comes to production, there are just two modes, personal and commercial. And the extent at which medical and recreational are maintained separately is the extent to which recreational will game medical to gain special rights. For instance, this fellow I know consumes a 1 gram cartridge of vape pen oil per week. Those cartridges cost $25, working out to about $1,200 a year. If taxation and regulation bumps the cost of that cartridge up even $5 to $30, then it's going to be worth him to go halvesies covering some patient's card to get the caregiver card to save, $250 in taxes. And suppose he's got a friend that wants to grow 4 plants, but the landlord bans recreational growing. Well, it's going to be worth it for him to kick in for some patient's card to be able to grow medical and get that protection. And the guy growing weed for illegal distribution back east is going to use whatever loophole he can find to protect his investment. Now, if I could wave a magic wand and just make it so, here's how medical marijuana would be. It would exist only as an ID card that gets you point of sale tax rebates at the marijuana store, the right to designate a third-party non-commercial grower, and limited protection in the reciprocity states. The entire commercial aspect, from growing to processing to packaging to testing to selling, should all fall under one set of commercial regulations, because there's no practical reason why it shouldn't. Do recreational plants require a different type of light and water? How does processing an infused brownie differ if it's medical? How should healthy consumers have different testing standards? What makes medical retail any different than recreational retail? And stop if you're going to say, well, they need high CBD and salves and all that. Because right now we have mythically medical only stores and the patients are complaining now they don't have access to those things. I think you bring access to everyone, widen the market, and there's more likely a chance someone's going to produce those things. And make everybody subject to the same limits. If 4 plants and 8 ounces isn't enough for a patient, then bump it up for everyone. Don't provide that incentive to want to fake it or game the market to get a special right. Now, I know at this point, somebody brings up the super sick, mega desperate patient who needs 18 ounces an hour and needs 1,000 plants. Whatever. But yes, of course I have compassion for that, and we should allow a special dispensation for them, but it should be something a little more than I paid $175 to talk 15 minutes to a doctor who can't get work anywhere else but signing permission slips and doesn't get paid if he doesn't sign. Maybe we have a review board or something, and when they do get that card that gives them the upper special limits, it should be a lifetime card. Because someone who can't get by on the recreational limits is probably battling some lifetime disease like multiple sclerosis or AIDS or something like that, or doesn't have much lifetime left. They're battling cancer on hospice. Give them a lifetime card that gives them those upper limits so we don't have that renewal process that funds the permission slip mills that aids in the frauding of the medical marijuana system. All right, I'm sure there are going to be some questions about that one, maybe some rants too. Stay tuned for hour two. We're coming up next. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you're planning.
science, you